Hello, everyone. Greg O'Rourke from fretdojo.com, and I also have with me Ryan Dillahay, my assistant instructor. How are you going today, Ryan?
I'm great, Greg. How are you?
Yeah, awesome, man. And today we've got a very special topic to talk about, where we're going to reveal the most important song forms to learn for jazz guitar, especially if you're starting out in jazz guitar. Because obviously when you're studying something as vast as jazz guitar, there's so many different players, so many different styles, so many different transcriptions and lines and all this stuff. But really, you've got to cut through the noise and work out what is the 80-20. So Ryan, what's the first song form that you think all jazz guitarists should really make a cornerstone of their practice?
So I think the first song form that if you can master, you'll really have a good grasp of playing jazz is a jazz blues, which is of course like a 12 bar form, right? And we have so many important harmonic motions within that. And if you can really nail those, you'll be able to play so many other things really well. So, you know, we have...
Let's hear some blues, really, man.
Yeah. So we have these really common motions. There, it was just like a 2-5 nice. To the 4. That happens all the time. So if you can master these kind of motions, you'll have so much you're able to bring to other tunes. Another big thing is we have a 2-5-1 in the blues form, right? Mm-hmm. Right, so if you can get that kind of 2-5-1 vocabulary going alongside the other blues stuff you're playing, then when you come to any other tune that has motions like moving from the 1 chord to the 4 chord or a 2-5-1, you already have so much going on for yourself.
Totally, man. Like, because that's the thing. When you learn a jazz blues, I think this is a mistake people think about when jazz blues. They think they're only learning blues stuff, which you're learning a lot of blues stuff, obviously. But you're also learning some, as you say, some really important chord progression concepts and some 2-5-1 vocabulary. These are kind of the raw ingredients, a lot of what you need to play over other tunes. But, of course, when you learn blues lines, you can play them all over the place, not just on a blues, right?
Yeah, totally. And that's something that you hear people do all the time. You hear George Benson do that. You hear Joe Pass do that. You hear Charlie Parker do that. I think that's something that's really kind of important for jazz. And sometimes when you feel like there's something missing in your playing, I find usually that's kind of the secret sauce is making sure that you have some of that blues happening in your playing.
Yeah. It's informed the sound of jazz so much, that blues sound. It really is a part of jazz, you know what I mean? So you don't want to overlook that. And the good news is that a lot of people that come from like a rock or blues background, you know, they've already got that. You know, they can feel that sort of sound. You might need to tweak it a bit. We don't tend to do as many kind of string bends and stuff in jazz, but definitely that the sort of the pitch vocabulary of blues is a real cornerstone of jazz. So yeah, that's the first song form is the blues form. And I should remind everyone, if you do like this lesson, make sure that you smash the like button, subscribe to this YouTube channel. It gives YouTube starts to like us more and all that sort of thing, and also it means we can make more lessons like this available to you guys, so that'd be fantastic. So we've covered the blues. So what would be, let's say a student is getting really competent playing over jazz blues, they've learned some blues lines, they're navigating those 2-5-1s, what would you suggest would be the next song form that would be good to tackle?
Yeah, so the next one I would say is rhythm changes. And so rhythm changes are super important for jazz, and there's so many jazz tunes that have been written that are based on these changes. And of course, when I say rhythm changes, I'm talking about kind of the harmony that comes from George Gershwin's I Got Rhythm, which is an awesome, it's kind of a foundational tune for jazz and for kind of contemporary jazz improvising. But really what I just mean is a tune that is based mostly around this kind of turnaround, this 1-6-2-5. Let me turn my guitar up a little more.
I want to see your fretboard a bit there, right?
Yeah.
Just show the world your awesome chops. Here we go.
Yeah. Anything that has these kind of turnaround motions happening in it.
Nice.
Being able to play over that stuff linearly. That sort of vocabulary will be super helpful when you go to play other tunes, because the turnaround is in so many other tunes. Even the blues that we just talked about has a turnaround in it. And another thing that's really helpful is the bridge of Rhythm Changes.
Totally.
So if we're in B flat, the bridge will go, we'll start on a D7 chord and moves to G7, moves to C7, and to F7. And so if you can also master playing over those, dominant chords, which are outside of our key, you'll have a much better grasp, and you won't be so thrown when you see an unfamiliar chord in another tune, So it's all just kind of about developing kind of a skill set. And these tunes kind of allow you to do that in a way that will also allow you to participate in, playing jazz with other people in so many ways, because everybody knows a blues, everybody knows a Rhythm Changes. So if you can, pull up to the jam session and say, hey, let's play a blues, everyone's going to be on board with that. So I think this is such a great way to get jump-started into learning tunes that you can go and play with other people right away.
Yeah, totally, man. And I think you've really, like, obviously these song forms, when you learn them, it can open you up to playing with other people, as you're saying. You can feel more confident rocking up to a jam session or whatever. But you're really learning the nuts and bolts here of jazz through these tunes. It's like when you learn just like something like Olio, it's not like you're just learning that song. What you're doing is learning a song form that is shared by a whole bunch of other tunes, but also the mechanics of those progressions can be applied to a whole bunch of different tunes. So it's this is really the kind of the nugget that we're looking for, that 80-20 concept. This is the 20% that gives you 80% of the results. So Rhythm Changes, another fantastic one. It's a lot of fun to play over that one. We were actually having a chat about this before the call, Ryan, about what would be some other sort of approaches or song forms that would be really important for people to learn? And you had some really good insights there on this third one that we've chosen.
Yeah, so the last one I wanted to talk about is, I think everyone should learn a ballad and have a ballad that they're really comfortable playing, that they feel really connected to and feel special about. Because I think that can bring so much lyricism into your playing. If you can take a melody and really try and perform it in a heartfelt and kind of personal way. And so I think, if we sort of think of these different Venn diagrams, or one big Venn diagram of playing jazz guitar, I think having bluesy vocabulary, being able to play changes like over Rhythm Changes and handle turnarounds, and then being able to play lyrically, you cover so much ground. I can't think of many other tunes that would demand something of you that isn't covered by, those areas, unless we're talking about, some crazy train changes and all this, all these other advanced harmonic things. But for the most part, like you're saying, 80-20, I think this will cover you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not like you have to feel like you're the expert of jazz guitar to be able to play it with other people. You know what I mean? You might find you just need to have this solid set of foundations under your belt to get access to playing with other people, to get access to all the music, you know what I mean? So obviously jazz, you can go very, very far in jazz in terms of giant steps and wherever you want to go there, but that can actually start to become a little bit academic as well. Like a lot of people, they just want to play some great blues or a Rhythm Changes tune or whatever. But I love this idea of playing a ballad, because it's that sort of lyrical aspect that is really important to foster in your playing, isn't it? Because when you make the changes, things can get a bit busy, but you want to the audience really just wants to hear a great sounding melody sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, definitely, totally. And it's such a great way to create contrast within your own playing. So if you can start a solo from a place that's very lyrical or very sing-songy, and then move into more advanced linear stuff, and then incorporate some blues, that's like a perfect solo. That's like, I had a teacher in school who would call that a jazz touchdown.
Yeah, nice. The jazz touchdown. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I actually found, as we were talking about this, I found a ballad on the site. I hope this is going to work through this platform. We haven't tried this one before, I think. So what could possibly go wrong? But let's, I'm going to share my screen here and my audio, because a Misty is a beautiful jazz standard that you can play. This is a solo guitar version that I recorded on the site. So I'll just add this here. A one, a two, a one, two, 3. Yeah, that sort of thing. So you can the full thing's available on the site for you guys that want to get access to that. There's a link in the description below. So that's we've got these three forms, but that last one, I think it's often overlooked. People are so excited to make the changes and play hip lines and get really busy with their playing. But I'll tell you an interesting story, actually. Like when I was first getting into jazz, right? I was like a lot of you guys that are probably watching the call. I didn't have much jazz under my belt yet. I knew a few songs, a few lines or whatever, but I rocked up to a jam session anyway, and one of the songs that we were playing was Days of Wine and Roses, and I played a very simple solo, just basically embellishing over the melody. I didn't really do much more than that, and just made sure the lines were singing really nicely. And I got this enormous applause at the end of the solo, and I wasn't expecting it. I was kind of like taken aback, but it's because they hadn't really heard anything like that so far through the night, and that's what the audience really resonates is those beautiful melodies. So make sure your playing is really melodic, even if you're playing the faster stuff, because that's what people want to hear, is a great sounding tune. Once again, make sure that you like or subscribe to this channel. It's fantastic to see so many people watching the replays of these. So if you do enjoy what you're hearing and seeing, let us know. It helps inform us what we might make next. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for today. A quick, pithy lesson on the most important jazz forms to learn. So make sure you dust off your blues, get your rhythm changes happening, and play some soulful lines over those ballads, and then you'll have a great toolkit for when you want to either play to your family or friends or play a jam session or whatever you want to do.
And for more jazz guitar lessons, tips, and free stuff, visit www.fretdojo.com.